the journey to mindfulness began out of a sense of disjuncture with the Christian tradition. But actually the practice of mindfulness has brought me back into, I suppose, valuing the richness within my own tradition. So I would now stand firmly in a place where I'd say, no, I'm not a Buddhist. I'm an Irish Catholic. It's in my genes. And the practice and discipline of mindfulness has actually opened that up for me. So that now I sit in a place where, you know, I'm very happy. And in Des and I developing this retreat, we're very happy that the Eucharist is central to that, to our experience of Irish Catholicism. And we also hold the space that for many people that no longer carries meaning or it represents difficulties and challenge. And so our work is absolutely inclusive. And it looks like this when you come on the retreat. We provide a sense of community, a silent space, some input and some ritual for people to find their own place in the continuum of I'm firmly rooted within Catholic practice, or I've lost my sense of spirituality and I don't know where I am. And we hope that being supported in this way through the retreat, people find their own path. And for me now, you know, a lot of my teachers now are from the Eastern tradition, but all of that actually informs my own rootedness within the Catholic story. And so I really believe that, you know, at this time where there is fragmentation, both externally in the world and internally in individuals, we're in the 21st century, we're frantic, we're busy, we're dislocated within ourselves. So I think the mindfulness gives us that sense of peace within a frantic world. If we can do what Francis Bennett invites us to do, he's an ex-Trappist and he's also using mindfulness to mine the mystical and Christian tradition for our times. And he talks about the practice on the cushion of meditation, bringing me to that deeper place where beneath the fears and the desires, there is what we already have, which is the joy of being connected and being loved and being held.
And I suppose what we're saying in terms of what the cosmic crisis, we're talking about something unfinished or evolving, that we don't know what the end is and that we're taking part in it in some way.
Well, when you say unfinished, do you know, as our lives are all unfinished, but they're not unfinished. They are full, they're alive now, and the cosmos is itself right now, interrelating. And I think of the cosmos as really personal. It's involved. You become the cosmos to me, or part of the cosmos, and I to you. And you know, when we smile at one another, we know we grow, so we gift one another. So the sun's shining, I get another feel out of it. In old Christian terms, we would say that's providence. It is God's providing for us. It is God's providing for us through the cosmos. For me, God has always worked through others. None of us has ever seen God. We've only seen glimpses that have been shared by others. It is still the same. The cosmos gives us that glimpse. You give me that glimpse. Dee gives it to me. The people who come, all of that. It's all of a part, all a whole.
Sometimes when we do talk about the cosmos and creation and the goodness and the beauty, and indeed it is all there, but I think anybody listening to us will probably have seen one of a number of wildlife programs and The Hunt, for example. And Shakespeare said it himself, like, nature is red in tooth and claw, horrible things, buffalo's been torn apart by starving dogs, you don't know whose side you're on. It ain't a pretty sight. I'm not getting into the human evil, because we can talk about choice, but we don't have choice in creation, and there's something very scary about the way creation goes about its business in order to survive.
Oh, there is indeed. And you know, even to walk in the mountains, as I do a lot, I know the mountain could swallow me up any minute, and I have one very serious memory of trying to climb up from the lake in Lugalaw down in County Wicklow up to the mountain peak above it. And I was about two-thirds of the way up, and I suddenly found I was flat against the rock. There's granite there, pure granite, and I was starting to slip down. I couldn't keep the hold. I remembered that probably about a foot below me, I mean, this was only guessing in the moment, that there was a ledge about a half an inch thick. So I splayed myself out totally on the rock, flat as I could, and prayed that I would hit that ledge and that I'd stay on it. As you can see, I did. That, you know, just intense in terms of facing death straight on within minutes. I've never had an experience like it before. So I've been there.
But what do you
think?
But say,
I went back up that cliff again.
But that's a choice.
It
you
is
know,
a choice.
You choose to go back up again.
Yeah.
You chose to go up there in the first place. You are a hyena and you're looking for a wildebeest. Mm-hmm. You know, you wait for the weakest one with a little ringworm in its ear to fall down and you eat it alive. Has there not to be a better way for this wonderful, beautiful creation to survive?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not the creator. And
does it not say something about this whole relationship that we, you know, we start off talking about it. It's beautiful and wonderful and at home. I don't feel at home in that creation.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, despite things like that, I'm very at home in creation. I know walking across the road any day could be the end of me. But I can't stop walking across the road.
The Buddha teaches, all I teach is suffering and the end of suffering. And so I think for me, the journey into the new cosmology has really been very challenging because it's a move from what I was taught all my life about the human being have a certain role of authority and dominion and control. And actually, what the mindfulness in the new cosmology calls us to is an awareness that actually I'm a very small bit player in the whole scene. And I am called to be in a certain relationship. And part of that, Pat, is a surrender to the suffering, the death, the evil, the cruelty that is part of the cycle of life. And I can't bring about an end to that.
So surrender, you think, is a very important part of mindfulness. It's also an important part of most religious traditions, actually.
Yes, yes it is. But I think the new cosmology brings us to a new level of awareness around surrender. So it is, what is it to be human and what is our rightful place as human? And even for those who are very involved in, you know, to say the human impact on the world, if we looked at it in the time of the day of a clock, is 3 seconds. And we're in the latter stages of the 3 seconds. And the human being has had an enormously negative impact on the environment. So when we talk about evil and destruction, we have knowingly or unknowingly brought about a situation where we now have a very fragile earth. And yet in our work, Des and I, we're very cautious with people who are coming from that ecological awareness and who are driven to save the earth, to say, well, actually, you know, balance in all things. And we like the work of a man called Satish Kumar, who himself comes from an ecological activity and peacemaking base. But in his wisdom and his life journey has taken him to a place where he talks about a new trinity for our time. And he talks about soil, soul and society. That he says, like Thomas Berry would say, that actually we need to spend time in nature. We need to get our hands dirty with the soil. And then we need to do our meditation practice and nourish our soul. And then we build community. But that ecological activism without that kind of balance is also bringing us to a place where we're misunderstanding who we are as human and our role in things. And the reality that life is not all fluffy bunnies bouncing around the garden.
And the lambs that gamble we then slaughter and eat.
Yes.
You've been doing these retreats, a very positive response around the country, I know that. You're now going to a few more places. Can you just let listeners know where, A, have your website, and B, where you'll be next?
Okay, so we have a website, mindfulfacilitation.com, and we have a page there which describes the format of a retreat, whether it's a one-day workshop or a six-day silent retreat. And we also share some of our resources there, like we like to put up YouTubes that we discover. For example, some very strong Tom Berry short inputs and other teachers, both in mindfulness and the cosmology. Our upcoming dates, we have a 5-day silent retreat coming up in Chalkbreed in Tullow at the end of May.
In Tullow?
In Tullow, County Carlow.
What dates are that?
From May the 21st to the following Friday, May the 25th.
And when you say a silent retreat, what does that mean, Des?
It doesn't mean an uptight retreat. It means giving people space to be in themselves and in the world about them. Letting go of job preoccupations and also letting go of the kind of the trivialities that run through our mind, we chatter about all day long, we keep going, did you see this, did you see that, all that kind of stuff. It's part of the mindfulness, is the silence. to come in to try to be aware of what's going on within me and how do I relate to things. And we were talking earlier about the mindfulness and the way it affects one. I've been practicing mindfulness too for many years, but the crux point for me was the day when I suddenly realized what a fearful person I was, which I would never have believed. I thought I was a very free young lad, but I was also being cautious of what people said. It was a part of the country, you know, be careful what people might say. Don't do that, people will be talking. I found that imprisoned me. The day I realized that, I realized what mindfulness had done to me. And I says, what a gift. It was beautiful. And it has stayed with me since. I've had a joy and a freedom in life from that one moment that you could say it was like a revelation.
Our silence is really about creating that space for people to have that time. It does include creative activity. Des and I provide one-on-one spiritual companioning for people who want that space. And we always build in a kind of a group companioning or sharing space. So we're building community and we're hearing each other, but also acknowledging that people need time to be quiet. Chop Read is a silent retreat. It's a 6-day retreat from May the 21st to May the 25th. And you can book that directly on our website. We also have a silent retreat in Ballyvaloo in Wexford, but at this point that's fully booked in August, but there may be some spaces on a waiting list. And we have a couple of day retreats coming up, one in Stella Maris in Howth, and that's on Wednesday, May the 31st, and one in a lovely, small, ecological centre called Suvness, which is in County Leash. And again, there's information on all of those dates on the website. And we're also open, Des and I, to providing this retreat in a variety of places.
So if people wanted to contact you from different centres, you'd be open to going and doing it?
Yeah, very much so. And of course, our initial start is within the traditional retreat houses, but we're very keen to provide the work in whatever context people would like to invite us into. So we're open to talking to people about that.